Hey, y'all. Let's take a look at Mark chapter 14 and the institution of the Lord's Supper, starting in verse 22. And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even though they all fall away, I will not." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he said emphatically, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said the same. So, again, I want to emphasize how much the Gospels themselves in general, but these passages in particular, refer to and gather up and fulfill so many Old Testament moments. And in particular, what we see in this passage is, again, this Exodus theme, and not just the Passover, the original Passover, when Israel, each household ate a lamb and they went out and crossed the Red Sea, but Sinai itself. So that whole moment when God delivered Israel from slavery, God made a covenant with Israel that they would be his people and he would be their God, and when the covenant was sealed in the sprinkling of blood by Moses there at the foot of Sinai. So that whole scene is evoked and referred to in this moment. So the other thing to remember is that for Jews, the Passover was an annual event. It was celebrated and has been celebrated for thousands of years. And it's a kind of identity-forming meal. If you think of Thanksgiving, we have this meal and we thank God, and it kind of tells this story of who we are as Americans. Well, much, much more so this meal of Passover, right? Jews were reminded that they were the people of God, the descendants of Abraham, with whom God had made a covenant, and that they should be a blessing to all nations. So it gave them an identity, it gave them a sense of purpose, it gave them a mission. And it is in that context that Jesus fulfills the Passover meal and reconfigures it. And obviously, maybe the most obvious way he reconfigures it is Christians begin to practice this meal not just once a year, but regularly. And so all kinds of things are going on that are tying these strands together. Jesus takes elements of the Passover meal, in particular bread and wine, some of the more basic staples at the table. He took the bread of the Passover meal and he said, "Look, this is my body, take it." And among many other things, what Jesus is doing here is saying, you all participate in me, you have a share in me, you partake of me, you have fellowship with me, there's a partnership with me. And so it means that they are to, by the grace of God, fully participate in Jesus' character by imitating him, in his mission, by doing his work, in his sufferings, by sharing in his sufferings. All these things are evoked by sharing of his body, sharing of the bread. And then the wine, he says, this is the blood of the covenant. Now, this is a direct reference to Exodus when Moses sprinkled the blood of the covenant. And that sealed Israel as God's people and God as the God of Israel. But he also says, this is the blood of the covenant poured out for many. So remember, it's gathering up the past, the Exodus, and fulfilling it. It's pointing ahead to his death on the cross and saying that the original Exodus was about that. And we'll see in a minute that it points all the way to the future. It is the meal of hope. So again, I want to stress that that communion, as Jesus instituted it, is the story of who we are, the story of who we were. It gives us a mission. It gives us an identity. It means we are to share in Jesus in every way. And I would also draw in at this point baptism, because baptism is a sharing in Jesus' death. And now communion is a sharing in his life and the shape of his life given for many. We are to ourselves, as we receive him, we are to be formed into that image. And the particulars of that image is to be a poured out people, poured out for him and poured out for one another. And then note, he says, I will not drink it again. I will not drink of the cup of the fruit of the vine until I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. It's interesting to note that Jesus drinks wine on the cross in Mark. So it seems as though it's the cross itself that opens up the kingdom and initiates it. Or we might say Jesus' ascension to the Father that does that. So again, it also points ahead to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And if I could go all the way back to Sinai one more time, the prophet said that the covenant that God made with Israel at Sinai was a marriage covenant with Israel as his bride. When we look forward to the New Jerusalem, to the book of Revelation, we see the coming wedding feast of the Lamb of God and his bride, the church, which consists of Jew and Gentile. And so that meal, just consider all the ways in which, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we enter into the past, we enter into that night, and we enter into the future as we gather before God to eat this meal. The last thing I'll note is also in Exodus, the elders, 70 elders, ascended the mountain. They sat at God's feet, they ate a meal, and the scripture says they didn't die. Well, that too is what goes on for us. When we gather to God's table, the miracle is that by the work of Christ and by his intercession, by his body broken and by his blood shed, we don't die when we see God, but we can come into God's presence and celebrate there. And then, of course, they go out, they sing the Hallel Psalms, the Psalm 113 to 118, which are traditional pilgrimage songs, psalms. And then he informs them that they're all going to be scattered, that they're all going to betray him, run away. And it's interesting. He says, hey, listen, you're all going to betray me, but I'm going to go ahead of you to Galilee, so meet me there. And I think the point is, he knows what they're going to do. He's already prepared to do whatever he needs to do to forgive them. He's just encouraging them. And even though they don't get it then, they're going to remember, he said, go ahead to Galilee. That means he knew we were going to do this, and he knew what he was going to do. Of course, it ends with Peter's insistence that, well, even if everybody else denies you, I won't. So it ends with this moment of this incredible lack of self-knowledge on Peter's part. And I think that speaks to every disciple's lack of self-knowledge. And I think it reminds us, again, going back to the previous scene at the meal, when Jesus said, one of you will betray me, we should always, before the Lord, say, Lord, is it I? I don't know myself, but you know me, and would you lead me graciously into self-knowledge so that on the other side of my sin and failure, I can be what you want me to be by grace. So may the Lord Jesus graciously grant us the self-knowledge that comes by the application of the cross, and may he forgive us and cleanse us and reform us into his image so that we can be a poured out people. Amen.